Now you and I know Scripture tells us four times that the just shall live by faith. That means it's not something that you try. It means that faith is a lifestyle. Say it with me. Faith, walking in faith, is a lifestyle. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it's so critical that you understand that you're to look at your life through the lens of faith. If you do not do that, you're looking through the lens of religion or what the world thinks, you're going to know, you know, make a lot of mistakes, but you're also going to fail to receive God's best here and in the life to come. Anybody here and interested in receiving God's best for your life? Yeah. It's a requirement. The only way that you can please God is through faith. So what I wanted to share with you today are the factors that affect your faith, that have something to do with your faith. Say it, the faith factors. And I want you to see this particular message and this particular concept as a three-legged stool. Look at somebody say a three-legged stool. The seat portion of that stool is your faith. Say my faith. But you notice that seat portion does not sit there all by itself. It has to be supported. And when it's not, it can fail or it can fall. Now, I've been in this long enough to hear people say this repeatedly. I guess my faith just failed. I guess it was a faith failure. It is possible to not believe God, not stand in faith, and see what we call a faith failure or faith fizzles, what we used to call them. But I'm here to tell you that it's not always your faith that's the problem. One of those legs could be missing. One of those legs could be weak. One of those legs could actually not be producing and performing the way it is. And so you take out one leg, you knock the stool over. Take out two legs, you knock the stool over. And how do you know it's not going to stand with one leg? So those factors are critical. And I'm going to take my time and make sure you understand how important these are. The relationship between that seed of faith and then what supports that faith. And that first factor today is a thing called Bible hope. Say Bible hope. It's what we call the hope factor. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, amen, faith. Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We actually understand from other translations that hope is that assurance, that absolute confidence of what you believe, what you hope for is going to manifest. Faith is being sure, the NIV says, of what we hope for. Shout that out. Faith is being sure. Being sure of what? What you hope for. No hope, nothing to be sure about. There are a lot of people, even in Christian circles, that have lost their way. They have lost that sense of Bible hope, or they confuse it with worldly hope, and they aren't able to produce with their faith. It has nothing to do with their faith letting them down. They need to go back and support that which will support the faith. Say it with me, the first leg is Bible hope. Why is that so important? Because Bible hope is not the same thing as what the world sees hope as. A hoping and a praying and a wishing. When you wish upon a star, it makes no difference where you are. That's not what Bible hope is. Bible hope is not based on what the world says or what you think or how you feel. It's not about your emotions. It's not about your experiences. It's based on one thing. Bible hope is based on the Bible. Shocking. Say that. Bible hope is based on the Bible. It's on the Word of God. Now, I realize today you have a lot of people out there, even in ministry circles, who think they have elevated themselves intellectually above the Word of God. And all they've done is bring destruction into their lives. Say it with me, I will never be higher than the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. It's absolutely, you know, unbelievable that people in the arrogance will say, I am able to judge the Word of God when they're dealing with something that was literally God-breathed, that the Word of God and Jesus are one, that somehow they can judge the Word when the Word is what will never pass away. Everything around you, you know, will cease to exist one day. Two things that are eternal, the Word of God and people. The only question is, where will you spend eternity? Say it with me, I'm going to heaven in Jesus' name. How many are convinced you're born again and on your way to heaven? I said, how many are born again and convinced you're going to heaven? How many would say that hope is clear? But you need that hope, but you also need hope that's based on the Word of God for everyday living, your purpose, your sense of destiny on this planet. So let's define Bible hope once again. Bible hope is an inner image of an eager expectation. It is a white hot expectancy in your life. It's like having your neck outstretched and you're longing for something. You're looking for something. But I want to zero in with you today that the concept of the inner image. Say it, it's an image. It's a picture. And to the degree that you have an inner image or a picture on the inside of you of what God has for you in this life, when you have that, what you have is a thing called Bible hope. When you're missing that biblical inner image, you don't have Bible hope. And so you fill it with what the world thinks. You fill it with a hoping and a praying and a wishing. You fill it with all kinds of philosophies, but not with what will absolutely produce that inner image on the inside of you. Now, God made you that way. We are programmed to walk around with an image on the inside of us that ultimately will impact our lives. Listen to me very carefully. That inner image is directional. It will determine where you go. It's inspirational. It will motivate you to take the mountain for Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. It will give you that strength when you don't have any, that courage when it's gone, that encouragement when nothing's going right, because the picture on the inside of you is bigger than the circumstances on the outside. God help people who don't have Bible hope. And let me just say this to you, that people like Joel Osteen will be criticized. All he's going around doing is building people's hope. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. That's exactly what a preacher ought to be doing. I'll take a better amen than that. Where somebody cultivates an inner image of what God says in His Word, that's the most powerful thing that can happen, and it's supernatural. Say it with me, it's supernatural. Your spirit is a supernatural depository of the things of God deposited on the inside of you that create a picture of a reality that God wills and God desires for you, but takes ultimately time for that thing to manifest from picture form to there it is. But without that picture, you're never going to see the best that God has for you. In Hebrews 6:19, the Bible says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Listen to me carefully. It's the Bible hope that holds you steady, that anchors your mind, that anchors your emotions, that anchors your will in the things of God. And I don't know about you, but I've been through some things where I needed to have an anchor. And I can tell you right now, without that anchor, I would not be steady. I wouldn't be here, bless God. Say it with me. It's an anchor of hope. It anchors us in the things of God, mentally, emotionally, and when it comes to the will of God. Jeremiah 29:11, don't let anybody ever talk you out of that scripture. God said in His Word, He has plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. That hope is actually a gift. That inner image is a gift of God to you, and you should want it. So maybe you're here today and you don't have a clear biblical inner image of an eager expectation, white hot expectancy, or you're here and maybe you've lost that completely, or maybe you're here, you've never had it. Maybe you've had it, but it's fading over time. You know what God can do? God can restore the vibrance of that picture in your heart today. God can restore that clear inner image on the inside of you so you can get on with your inspiration and motivation. You can have an amen. You can get on with what God has called you to do and become in this life. It's the first leg of that stool. The problem is if our understanding of hope is wrong, the anchor will not hold. It's only Bible hope that holds. Wishing doesn't hold. What the world says doesn't hold. Religion doesn't hold. Philosophy doesn't hold. It's only the inner image produced by the Word of God that holds for us. It's literally what we would call the blueprint for your faith. I don't know about you, but I don't want to, occupy a building that didn't have blueprints first. This particular building had a very clear set of blueprints, multiple iterations, returned to Frankfurt over and over again before they were ultimately approved. Why? Because it needs to be safe for people. Amen? The codes are there to protect people. Around the world, they don't have the same codes that we have, and people die every day because of faulty construction based on no codes, based on plans that are not Correct. We had a really great architect. He's built most of the public buildings in this county. And he was 80-something years old when he took over our project. And I remember he and I climbing up there. He's 80 years old, climbing up there on the ladder to look at this red iron that was supporting the balcony. And he looked at me and he goes, "Son, you're getting an education, aren't you?" I knew nothing about what he was talking about. And you know that man, originally our bill was supposed to be around $35,000, $37,000. He said, "I want you to pay me $1,000 a month." After we paid about $12,000, he said, "I'm going to give the rest to the church." Isn't that a blessing? I said, "Isn't that a blessing?" I said, "Isn't that a blessing?" We should always thank God for the favor that's on our lives. But I noticed something when the contractor, who is a builder in town, a very prominent builder, he's with Jesus now, but he looked at the plans and he said, the architect did not put any window seals at all, any marble plates at all in the windows throughout the building. We have a lot of windows. He goes, "But you know what?" He goes, "I just want to order them, put them in at our expense." But I thank God for the favor. Now, here's my point. The reason they were not ready to be put in order is because they were not on the blueprint. Some of you have blueprints spiritually that are absolutely incomplete. They need to be detailed. They need to be exact. It needs to be vibrant so that everything that's supposed to happen in your life actually manifests. You can think of it this way. Bible hope is actually something that will pre-program your life. You know, a computer system is only as smart as the coder that actually put it in there.
That's right.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And we have been programming our lives for years. And sometimes it's consistent, sometimes it's back and forth. Sometimes we put something in on one day and then contradict it the next day. But consistency is the key when it comes to your life. That blueprint, the first house we bought, Kelly stumbled upon it, was a developer in town who was developing some land that basically everybody else ignored. He's building these nice homes, little three-bedroom, two-bathroom homes, the garage, and they were brick, and they were in the central part of town. And she saw it, and the first thing he did when she drove up is he discounted the house. He claims we robbed him. The bottom line is he just gave this gracious offer. I say thank God for the favor of God. But he goes, "Where are the plans for this?" He goes, "Well, here it is. I drew it on a napkin." That was a faith house. It worked out. But I was just dumbfounded that he could actually do all that and then build a house. But the reality is, it takes some kind of a plan on the inside of you for your faith to work on. If you don't have Bible hope, you don't have something actually for your faith to work on. No wonder your faith is not working. Your faith can't work on nothing, can it have an amen? Say it would be Bible hope is an inner image of an eager expectation. Like love and faith, there is confusion in what constitutes Bible hope. You and I know there's natural wishing hope and there's divine hope or Bible hope that's based entirely on what did God say. The good news for you and for me is this is something that any believer with just a little discipline can develop in their lives. And I encourage you, recognize how much the inner image on the inside of you right now is biblical. And if it's not biblical, reject it. Just say to yourself, "I'm no longer going to program myself with what is not true, what is not biblical, what is not accurate." And only you can do that. Somebody else can't do that for you. You know, sometimes you look at somebody and you just assume, well, they got it all together. Everything is great in their life. And in reality, they have been sucking on things that literally been painting a picture on the inside of them. It's not biblical and it's not true. Only you right now can be honest about it. But I'm telling you, if you're discouraged and despondent and depressed, the reason is you have cultivated an image on the inside of you of despondency and discouragement and depression. And God can change that if you'll do what you need to do. Say it with me, "I'm going to do what I need to do." You may not realize this, but in these end times, God needs you. The body of Christ needs you. We need you to tap into that image that he has for you. And what will happen is it will direct your path. That'll be like a GPS system for you. It'll guide you into what you're supposed to be doing. People with a Bible hope make better decisions. They have better relationships. They're excited. Amen. I said they're excited. Don't make me come down there and preach in your face. They're excited. They're enthusiastic. A lot of religious people just go to church and there's very little there. God never designed for the spirit man to be empty. He wants to be filled with an inner image of an eager expectation that comes from the Word of God. I'm sympathetic to many people who've at one time developed this, and circumstances and hardship and failures and betrayals, whatever the case may be, it began to diminish. You had a vision. It was vibrant. There was a picture on the inside of you. And you know it was biblical because you got it from God. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God floods your heart. And you were so excited about what God had for you in the future. When you've lost your excitement for your future, you're losing your Bible hope. And I don't care if you're 5 years old or 90 years old. The senior saint that just sits there waiting to go to heaven has lost something very powerful. They've lost an inner image of an eager expectation. What can they do? I'll tell you what they can do. What we need right now are for those that are of that age to speak up the wisdom of God and pour into this generation because they have lost their way. We need you to live those years so you can pray and intercede. You've learned a few things. The problem is not your age. The problem is you've lost your inner image of an eager expectation. But I'll tell you this, you don't have to be 95 for that to happen. You can be 25, 35, 45 for that to happen. Make up your mind, it's not going to happen to you in Jesus' name. But if it's begun to fade, it's because everything is encroached in. And over time, you lose that vibrancy. Now, some of you remember the Polaroid cameras. And then the Kodak knockoff, where they got sued for making that thing. But you know, you point the camera and it spits out a picture that... And you blow on it and you wait and you blow on it. And then pretty soon, what happens? It begins to develop. Isn't that cool? When we were kids, we thought that was the coolest thing in the world. I mean, that film was not inexpensive. We're running around snapping everything. Oh, look, here's the cat's paw. Oh, look, over here, here's a plant. Oh, look, over here, there's a picture of Daddy peeing. Praise God. I mean, just going crazy with this thing. I actually had the Kodak version. That was really cool. But a funny thing about those pictures, you take them out of a box. I got several of those when we were first married. You can still make them out. But guess what? The blues aren't so blue. The reds aren't so red. Clarity is not there. They fade over time. That's exactly what happens to an inner image if you don't take care of it and protect it in your life. It's the most precious thing you will ever have. And that's what your faith works on. It works on your image to bring it to pass. No image, there's nothing to bring to pass. We who teach faith need to understand that faith is the seat, but it's the legs that support and hold that faith up. It's not faith or hope. You need them both. Can I have a big amen? Amen. Whatever. Or whoever controls the inner image ultimately controls you. And in this room, there's a lot of diversity in terms of how vivid and how accurate those inner images are. But faith works best when the image is vibrant and intense. When the hope fades, the faith dies. Not every faith failure is a faith failure at all. Are you here today? How blessed are we? I asked you earlier if you're born again. Are you born again? Yes. You're on your way to heaven. Say, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm born again. Are you convinced of that?
Yes.
Are you blessed?
Yes.
You could go uptown and in a short amount of time find a lot of churchgoers who don't have your confidence today. Because they have a religion of fear and a religion of works. Hopefully they'll tip the scales just enough and they'll make it in. But you realize it's because you have faith in Christ, because of His grace, that you're going in. But what's amazing is, I could ask any person today here who you have that kind of confidence, what do you see on the inside? You see yourself being raptured one day. And if you're still here, if you precede, in other words, in death, those that are raptured, you see yourself coming up, 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 up. You see yourself absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's vivid on the inside of you. And we probably couldn't beat it out of you with a baseball bat. That's the kind of inner image you need for your life, not just the one to come. I said, not just for the one to come. You need the inner image for the life that is here. When you lose that, you lose everything. Amen. Our confidence that He's coming back is called the blessed hope. It is a hope that blesses. That's what hope does for you. It empowers you. It encourages you. It strengthens you. It gives you everything you need to succeed in this life. Is there anyone here that really, truly believes in the blessed hope? Unless you're absolutely dead, you know something's going on in this world. You know the clock is ticking. And if you're here today and you're not walking with God, today is a great day to give your life to Christ and stop making all the excuses for why you're not serving Him. And let me just tell you this. Well, you know, those Christians, those hypocrites, I tell you what, it's because of what they're doing and what they're saying and what they're preaching. I just can't believe them. It's a funny thing that somebody will avoid Christ and His church because of hypocrites, but they'll never avoid Walmart for the same reason. What do you think you have at Walmart? The paragon of integrity? I mean, look at the way they dress. At least people don't wear pajamas to church here. Newsflash for you, darling, there are hypocrites everywhere. In fact, take out your little compact mirror or whatever and look at yourself. You just found one. Now you're just making excuses because you think you want to run your life, but I'll tell you this, you haven't lived until you gave your life to Christ. I said you haven't lived until you gave your life to Christ to find out what He has for you, a grand adventure that will supersede anything you could come up with and a plan that's better than anything you could foster in your own mind or heart. Amen. That's when the adventure starts, is when you give your life to Christ. But it's a blessed hope because it empowers. I bring it up because that's what Bible hope does. It empowers you. When you lose it, it strips you of that power. You want to hold on to it with all of your heart. Say, with all of my heart. I want to just sow this into your life today. If you would go over to Romans. And look with me in Romans 15. Shout out and say the hope factor. Come on, confess this boldly. The hope factor. Say it. My hope is back and better than it's ever been in my entire life. Hallelujah. Confess it. I have an inner image of an eager expectation based on God's word. That's where it comes from. Not relatives' words, not the world of the media, the words of the media, amen. Not the words of the devil, but what? Bible hope comes from and is cultivated from the word of God. Aren't we blessed people?
Yes.
And look at this in chapter 15, in verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. And watch this in verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have what? Hope. That hope comes directly from your interaction with the word of God. Say that with me. My Bible hope comes directly from my interaction with the Word of God. It's not going to come from any place else. You're not going to find it anywhere else. It sounds simplistic to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Bible hope only comes from the Bible. Amen. You say, well, how does that work? I thank God for, message years ago that Brother Savelle preached to explain some of these concepts. But I want you to get this down into your heart. You got to take the Word of God. That's the key. God wants to make and build on the inside of you the most vibrant Bible picture you've ever seen, that when you get up every day, you're excited. Well, I can't stand my job. I can't stand where I'm at. I can't stand this. Well, the problem is not the job. It's not where you're at. It's not who you live with. It's none of those things. The problem is you have lost your inner image of an eager expectation. You have externalized your sense of excitement and joy in life to somebody else. God has designed, insert image, it'll take care of the rest. Are you here? And this is what I believe God revealed to him, and it's just so powerful. If we're going to have an image, we're going to have something to create that image with. And that image is created with the Word of God. The Word of God is the paint. If it's fading, guess what you can do? Repaint it. How many times do I do it? Hopefully you do it often. Keep it crisp. Keep it clear. The human heart is the canvas. Somebody is going to paint on you. Somebody already has painted on you. The goal is to make sure that it's the paint of the Word of God that is applied to your canvas. And who does the painting? The Holy Ghost is the artist. He takes the paint of the Word of God and creates an image on the inside of you. What God says about your future, your destiny. What He said about your mental health. What He said about your physical health. What He said about your relationships. What He said about what you're supposed to do in this life. What you're supposed to do day by day. He is painting on the inside of you that inner image with the paint of the Word of God. And there's not a single person who's born again that does not have this capacity to allow the Holy Ghost to infuse in them this amazing inner image of an eager expectation, so you get up tomorrow morning with joy instead of confusion, instead of depression. As long as you're looking for something on the outside to correct this, you're never going to have it. The cultivation of your inner image is 100% your responsibility. Oh, I don't like that, Pastor. Well, walking with God has a certain level of responsibility to it. I used to believe this, and I used to believe that, and I used to see this, and I used to see that. It can all be remedied by dealing with the Bible hope first in your life. We know that faith comes by hearing. Understand, according to Romans 15, but hope also comes and stays by hearing and receiving. You're already painting on your heart every single day. Whatever you're exposing yourself to through your eyes and your ears, what you're saying with your mouth, I hate to say it this way, but I paint on my own canvas with my own mouth. God help it to be scriptural. Are you here today? Come on, shout that out. My heart is the canvas. The Word of God is the paint. The Holy Ghost is the artist. What's the result? A beautiful biblical inner image of an eager expectation. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. The faith part comes in when you say, I believe that what's painted on the inside of me is coming to pass. It is manifesting. I remember some of those old pictures years ago. I was in Phoenix where Mom and Dad lived at the time, and they started bringing out some of those Polaroids from years and years ago, along with some other photos, regular photography, they fade as well. And I thought, this is a picture by the Christmas tree here. Who is that in that striped onesie? And it was me. Could you imagine this in a onesie? I mean, and some of the pictures you just like to get rid of. I don't know what happened to that picture. It's just gone. Amen. For years, I told people that's not me. That's my older brother. And how can I put this, you know, delicately? I was not just tall back then. I was plump. It's partly my mom's fault. She used to put Coke in my baby bottle. True story. Yeah. Of course, it was only later that people found out when you give kids sugar. I was just a few months old when the doctor put me on a diet. You don't know the hardship I endured. Thank you. You know, my point is there are images that are produced by the Word of God that never need to fade. And there are other images on the inside of you that need to fade. Images of failure and disappointment and betrayal and hurt. Mistakes that you made, the missteps that you've made. Some of you live every single day. It's not even really just the devil condemning you. You live self-condemned because you won't see yourself the way God sees you. Say it with me. Some images need to stay. Some images need to go. I pray that God would deliver you from all those inner images of things that didn't go, you know, in your life like they were supposed to. We all have them. And they're trying to resurrect themselves constantly in your life, misdirect you. But I'm telling you, God can cleanse your heart, amen, give you a nice white canvas, pour the Word of God in and watch the Holy Ghost go to work. You didn't get that that bad image overnight, and you're not going to get a biblical one overnight.
That's right.
But if you'll stay at it, you will see the power of Bible hope. I mean, the empowerment that comes from hope in your life. Say it one more time. My heart is the canvas. The Word of God is the paint. The artist is the Holy Ghost. Come on, say it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap and thank Him today for that. We praise you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Amen. I want you to stand today just as you do worship Him. Thank you, my Father. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Your head's bowed at a really important moment. As grateful as all of us are that we are in right standing with God, there are always people that come into the building that at that moment they're not in right standing with God. They're not right with God. Because every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You're focusing on your own walk and you're processing what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you today. You know that you're not right with the Lord. Just lift your hand right now and say, you know, Pastor, I want to get prayed for. I want to get right with Him today. I want to make my life right with the Lord today. Amen. He loves you. He cares about you. You say, what's the big deal? He can actually see my hand. He can not just see your hand, He can see your heart.
Amen.
And He longs to wipe away that sin and wipe away the destruction of the inner image you've carried all those years and do something brand new on the inside of you. But you got to give Him a chance. He's not going to force Himself on you. So all over this building, pray this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name,
I realize
I have on the inside of me the life I've been living. I have an inner image of sin and failure and degradation and guilt and shame. And Lord, I repent of that. I ask your forgiveness for my sin. I realize you want to do a brand new thing. Make me a new creation. I'm asking you today, forgive me and take my life. Begin the process of removing those old dead images and replacing them with Bible images. I ask you today, become my Lord, be my Savior. I believe God raised you from the dead after you paid for my sins. And I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And confession is made unto salvation. Now, Lord, help me be excited and hungry for the Word of God. I plan on watching you paint a picture, a Bible picture on the inside of my heart with the Word of God. I'm going to be excited and enthused about where I go from here. Here's my life. Do with it what you want. I'm yours to command. Show me by your word, through Bible hope, what I need to do, where I need to go, who I need to be. And I believe that today. In Jesus' name. And give them a hand clap to the Lord for those that have responded to that. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. And as you continue to pray, you're here today and you have been in some serious battles over who is going to control on the inside of you, how you see yourself. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here with great compassion for you. And I join him in being concerned that you become everything he's destined you to become. But he's making it clear to you today that it's not what's happened on the outside that's doing all that damage. It's how you see yourself on the inside that is. You'd like to be free from that. You'd like the Lord to begin to wipe that slate clean. Come over and out of that. That images that should fade, fade. And Bible images that should be placed in your heart, let that process begin. See yourself as a failure, as a loser, as an outcast. Second best, less than everybody else around you. Black sheep of the family, every other kind of metaphor that applies. And you're just being honest about it. You know that you do not operate with a Bible inner image on the inside of you. Raise your hand right now, all over this building. I just want to pray for you. I want you to walk out of here with some victory. Walk out of here with some joy. You are not what the world says you are. You are not what other broken relationships have said you are. You are not the sum total of your failures, of your mistakes. It's so critical that you personally let the Lord do the kind of surgery that can only be done by his Spirit. Anybody else, before we pray over this, you say, Pastor, I know that what's on the inside of me is completely contradictory to what you just talked about. I want a fresh start. So Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters today that you just begin to do a new thing in them, a fresh start. Supernaturally wipe away those images of defeat and destruction, despair, discouragement, depression. Lord, push them out, and push them out with the truth of your word. May they hunger and thirst for your word like they never have before. May they go all in for you. May they wear out Bibles, multiple Bibles every single year, seeking you, searching the scriptures, applying the word. And Holy Spirit, I know that you will make vivid and real that picture as you paint on their heart what the Word says they are. Father, they'll just come to themselves. And they, for the first time, will understand even the confession that we make over the Word of God at the outset of a service. They'll begin to absolutely believe that they can be what the Word says they are. They can actually do and receive what the Word says they can do and receive. There's an image transplant going on even right now, Father, in their heart. Teach them to guard that heart. Teach them to guard that heart by what they say, by what others put in their ears, by what others try to expose them to. Help them recognize instantly the voice of the enemy through other human beings and through spiritual forces as well, and recognize and reject those inputs. That picture on the inside of them will be crystal clear. Do this for them, Father. In Jesus' name. How many with a raised hand can say you just need to get some vibrancy back to what's on the inside of you? You're holding on to some Bible hope, but it's not as vivid as it needs to be. Lift your hand right now. You just want to sharpen that thing. You want to see it grow. You want to be so vivid it's clear what that picture is. Father, we pray for those as well. They've got a picture there, but it needs some maintenance. It needs some color added. It needs some definition. It needs something done. By your Spirit, take the paint of the Word of God and freshen that image up, God. Freshen up what they're supposed to see on the inside of them and help them get into maintenance mode when it comes to that image, watching over what is done, watching over what is said, watching over what is received. And we thank you for it today. Now I want you to just lay your hands on the person that's next to you all over the building and pray this over the life. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to give my brothers and my sisters a revelation of Bible hope. They've heard the word. Now give them personal revelation. Let this explode on the inside of them. Father, help them become hope experts. Experts in cultivating hope. Experts in sharing hope. Experts at giving hope to others. Use them in a mighty way. I declare over them, they have the spirit of wisdom and revelation specifically in the area of hope. It's in the name of our church. We of all people should understand what hope is. Help us all to cultivate a greater revelation and a greater image than we've ever had in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give him a hand clap and thank him.